The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki and Andrew.
Hello. Yeah, Andrew's here today, you guys. It's a special version of the show. Welcome to a special Fanthrax version of the show. That means that we have too much feedback from you guys, and we don't get to it all every Thursday, which is our normal Fanthrax segment. So all we're doing today, me and Andrew, and Noah, are going to sift through your voice memos, your DMs, your emails, anything you've sent to the show, and we are going to laugh at it, laugh with you, laugh at you, and respond, maybe give advice. It's just a special episode that is going to cover our butts if one day we get sick or can't do the show. And Andrew's very uncomfortable right now because last night I did do surgery on myself, and I finally think I'm kind of sad almost because whatever this thing is on my knee, I've definitely dug it out. And I went to places last night that I didn't think I could go in terms of pain tolerance, and I loved it.
It's a lot, folks. And
I took off my Band-Aid because it's so much worse than it usually is.
It's literally bleeding. It's like an open wound.
No, it's already scabbed. It's already scabbed. The scab has happened. It's scabbing. There's
Guys,
no fresh blood.
You don't understand. It looks like a crime scene on her knee. And
it is.
It's her own thing. I get it. But, you know, it's making me a little queasy.
There's no apologizing you have to do. This should make you queasy. This is weird. And
yeah.
We just did a podcast and it was bubbling up during that. Like, I took off the Band-Aid and it like opened up and started bleeding and it was making like puddles of blood. But I couldn't be the guest on, so I couldn't go get a Band-Aid. So then I saw it scab, and now it's like building scabs and it stopped bleeding, and I'm just fascinated by it. And if you do want anything removed surgically from you, sign over your life to me and I will gladly do it because I'm pretty good at it.
Well, you cut the corn off my girlfriend's toes, so.
Yeah, I did tell them about that. So I think, yeah. But that doesn't require blood. I mean, usually need a local anesthetic, and all the videos I've watched have someone having a wart like this removed. This is not like a bad wart. It's just like a weird growth. No doctor would ever do what I did last night with my scalpel, my medical grade scalpel, without anesthetic. And I did it, and I honestly could have taken more. I would have been okay
in
the Civil War. I was truly thinking last night, if I ever got my arm caught under a boulder, I could cut it off. I really could, because let me just say that I usually just remove the top layer. If you want to treat your wart, you just scrape off the callus and then you put on whatever medicine and then you put a cover over it. That's generally the best way to treat it. Apple cider vinegar is I think the best method that I've seen on the warts subreddit. But the other way, and dermatologists in the States can't even do it because it's surgery, is they cut the wart out. That's really the best technique, and there's videos of it in Europe and Canada, like where they can do it, all over YouTube. So I've literally learned how to do it. And what it takes is like you have to go past it, because the wart only lives on the first layer of your skin. It never goes deeper. It does tap into your blood supply, so you're gonna get crazy bleeding, but it's not like it's never gonna end unless you're one of those, the amelophiliac or whatever it is. I just made up a word, but there's some word of people that don't stop bleeding, and I just don't feel like coming up with it. And but last night, I was just, there was this warty tissue that I could feel, because I've watched so many videos of them scraping, using a little ice cream scoop curette to scrape out what appears to be like, oh, you got the wart out. Why are you scraping it still? Because if any cell of warty tissue remains, it will regrow. And last night I was like, let's see if I can, like, this thing that's been on my knee for over a
and
decade.
You pick at it a lot.
I pick it. It's like, and it's something that brings me a lot of, I don't know if anyone out there is a picker, but when I get anxious, I like the fact that I am able to pick at it. Like, I'll miss this thing if it's gone. But I honestly wanted to see if I could do what everyone on the subreddit warts is trying to do. There's people there that are creeping on wart videos because they're like me and they just like it. And then there are also, most people are there just like, here's my warts. Like, I don't know what to do with it. And then there's creeps like me commenting like, will you take a video of it?
Yeah,
like, there's
yeah.
always, so it's people that are getting help for their warts, and people, and also people like just
wart
loving
heads,
it.
Yeah.
And they all get along. It's weird. Like, the wart people will be like, because they keep coming back and they'll be like, this is today what it is. What should I do? People give advice. Then we go, film it. And then they sometimes do. And then they bring a video and they're like, I don't know why anyone wants to see this, but here you go. And we go, thank you so much.
You're like
and
a then, foot fetish kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. I, it's, I, honestly, I've offered people to pay people to make these videos because they are so soothing to my soul. Anyway, last night there was this tissue that I couldn't, it was a different consistency than the regular healthy skin. And I, Noah's getting ready to write on our board that says, let's move on from warts to actual to mail. Yeah, mail. Yeah, I know what you're doing. You're writing you a little, maybe a... I knew, she's oh, like, this five is minutes. That really means 10 minutes. No one knows that five means 10 because I don't listen. And three means
Noah's
five.
About to write, this isn't Wart Thrax.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a great band name.
Hell yeah, dude.
That sounds like a cover band, Anthrax cover band. Anyway, last night I really did a great job. And I went to places, like, I challenged myself to perform surgery on myself thinking I was, like, almost... like a doctor in, pilgrim times or whatever. And I was like, wow, I could have been maybe a surgeon in those times if you didn't have to go to school for it. Like, and I would just be a good patient because the thing is most people couldn't take this pain. And I wish they could because we could get it. I could get it out right away. But most people can't stand pain. And I get it. But I have a high tolerance and I'm
not
bragging.
Can you get Novocaine shots for yourself? I'm not being like kidding.
No,
like,
I wouldn't. I'm sure there's something I could buy that would numb even ice. I think girls when they pierce their ears, they use ice to numb it. There's things you could give people that would diminish.
I love
the pain.
In every movie they drink a shot of whiskey.
That's true though.
They drink whiskey. They
because
bite
whiskey
a spoon.
Makes you stupider, so it makes you braver.
Yeah,
like the
but
you'll
bleed more if you're drunk for some reason.
Yeah, it's thinned your blood for sure. All right, let's get to. I'm sorry to make you uncomfortable with this though, because I know it is uncomfortable.
It's a lot. It looks like a open surgery, like you got a knee replacement.
Yeah, I
almost.
Could definitely get an infection very easily, but I know myself and I don't get infections often, so I'm just gonna.
Though the only thing is like when you pick at your knee, like it's an it's almost involuntary at this point, and I think when we go to video. Like, you're not going to even realize you do it.
Oh, no.
Just like I don't realize when I bite my nails. And people see it. And they get, like, very, like, people get so fucking anal about if you're doing something that's making them uncomfortable. So if you're playing with your knee or fidgeting.
I'm a woman on the internet, so I know.
Yeah.
I know that's your first rodeo of being picked apart about everything you do, like the thing on your knee. But when I signed on to do video for this. First, I wanted a desk to cover my legs so I didn't have to be judged for my outfit. Then I would go, maybe I'll wear sunglasses like Jenny McCarthy because I don't want to do my makeup. I have now surrendered to I'm going to look like I look that day. I'll try to look a little nice just so it looks visually cool.
Yeah.
Like when I try to put on makeup or want a ring light, it's not because I want people to want to fuck me. It's because it's more pleasing to the eye. People always go, my sister goes, I don't need a ring light. I'm teaching high school kids. And I go, they're more likely to look at the screen if it's a visually well-lit thing. It's not because I want you to want to look fuckable for your students. It's because it looks better. Makeup makes you look not only more fuckable, but just more pleasing aesthetically to the eye. So I'm ready to have those things. However, I've been on a lot of TV shows where I've seen that already in myself, to tell the truth.
Oh,
there's
where
you're so
doing
much
like,
thing where you
like
don't a, think you're on, you forget you're on camera. It's almost like a reality show. When I've done reality, I've forgotten I was on camera and had that happen where I was like, oh my God, there's camera right there. And you like,
it happened to me yesterday in our meeting when I was playing with my penis in my shorts and
oh
I didn't realize.
Oh my God. I heard that happen.
I'm sorry about that, Noah. I
saw it. Thank goodness that we're friends. But it was...
I heard that happening.
I just forgot.
I catch you playing with your penis so often, like a three-year-old boy.
But in my pants. It's
in
in
your pants.
But still, it's not right.
I would assume everyone thinks that, but like, but you stick your hand in your pants. It's not outside your pants either.
No.
It's in.
Yeah, they're inside there.
That's how comfortable you are around us. And you forgot you were on Zoom for a second, and that's fine.
But anyways, yes.
But yes. What were we saying?
You do involuntary things when you don't even realize it.
Why were you telling me that? Like, you got to work on your picking thing?
I'm not coming at you like that. I'm just saying that if you're picking a lot, I think it's going to...
But you know what? My bestie is people watching. First of all, I don't read YouTube comments, so I would never literally know if someone was calling me out for that. That's why I really do rely on the people who work for me to let me know, like, hey, people don't seem to be liking this thing that you do, because I'll never...
The only other thing,
if I read a critical DM, I stop reading it. So like Noah and Andrew, as much as you guys see, if anyone's like, we don't like this about the podcast, steer me in those directions without explicitly telling me that people hate me.
Okay.
But I'm not getting
any eating thing they get mad about.
Oh, yeah, I've done that one or two times.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, people, I don't
but
give
that's,
a fuck
that's
what
an,
you do.
That's another thing. It's like,
I don't care if you eat your picks. I don't care.
Yeah, I just can't. I'd really try to do. I would be eating a lot more. So I'm just telling those people I'm doing my best, and that doesn't bother me. And the picking thing or saying like too much, I'm working on all those things. These are things I'm aware of. And the picking thing, but I have been on to tell the truth. And sometimes the last time I was on, I made sure I go, Nikki, remember that the camera's on you so many times when your face just fell and was like natural. It's like the joke I made on Conan.
Oh, I see.
About so your if Zoom, you're like smiling, when you end a Zoom meeting, you're like fake and you're like, bye guys, thanks so much. And then it goes, leave meeting, and your face falls to its natural state. And I just try to remember, like, remember where you are. Not, don't be fake, but remember to be like, you're happy. Like, don't get lost in your thoughts. Be self-awareness. So we'll have that during the video. I'm excited to get to it. Let's get to Fanthrax.
Yeah.
The whole episode is Fanthrax.
Starting now.
Fanthrax! Thank you guys so much for all of your feedback on the show. Let's get to it. Noah, what's up first?
Okay, let's start with an email that we got. Hi, Nikki and Andrew. I think I just became a bestie. To be honest, I was struggling sometimes to get through the podcast, especially when you and Andrew would be working your shit out on air. It was like listening to a bickering couple, which can be grating for sure. I'm such a big fan of you both, though, that I would just take a break and then check back in to see how things were evolving. It was touch and go, LOL. I just finished listening to the SSDJ episode, Soul Sucking Day Job, and after walking away a couple of times from it, I decided to just finish it. And Nikki, you basically addressed every single thing at the end of that podcast I was having a hard time with. Not only did I feel completely seen, I too have ADHD and can totally relate, probably why I was having a hard time listening to it, but your self-awareness and vulnerability came through in such a way that I committed to listening, annoyed or not, from here on out. Thank you so much for talking about all the things nobody else will. You are helping so many people by putting yourself out or like that, out there like that. Jackpot from Brandy.
Brandy, oh my God. Talk about feeling seen, girl. That's why I did that. I'm so glad because I'm never going to be a perfect performer and give all my fans exactly the version of myself that they want of me or be the thing that they tuned in for in the first place. I just can't, and I'm going to have flaws, and that's why I just love the listeners of the show so much because, you know what, guys, I don't even mind. Brandy, I want you to never just rough it out. Like, if I'm talking about something that's annoying you or you're bored, can I, as my bestie, will you just turn it off and, like, honor yourself in those moments of, like, this is uncomfortable, I don't like it. Like, just do what feels good. So if I put you in a position where you're, like, not feeling good, do what Brandy said and just like turn it off and come back again and be like, I'm kind of mad at my friend Nikki. Like, I didn't like that. She just kind of disappointed me. You're allowed to be mad at me. You're allowed to be disappointed in me. I think it would be for you to be blindly on board with anything I do is not something I ask of my fans. And sometimes I'm not comparing besties to Swifties, but I kind of am because I do think that this was all born of the fact that I feel so taken care of as a Swiftie, and I want my fans to feel that way too, and just like seen and all those things. But sometimes Taylor will do something that I don't love, and I struggle with it, and I like get like mad, like, you are departing from the version of you that I have on a pedestal that is the version of you that you've only given me. I don't really know you, and I'll get like hurt. And then sometimes I'll try to ignore it because I'm like, I just, you know, the way we do in relationships of someone we love, they say something and we go, I can't be with someone who talks like that. Mm-hmm. And then you just decide to forget it even happened because it's too hard to realize that you're, you know, giving into this thing that you wouldn't stand for. But because it's Taylor Swift, I'll let it slide. So what I do is I try to process it and I try to see it from their perspective. And I love that you were able to, maybe in the future, a part, Brandy, that you would turn off, you won't have to actually stick out because you'll remember I have ADHD and then I have self-esteem issues and I smoke too much pot and I am on ADD meds that make me talk too much sometimes, but they also make me not want to kill myself. So it's better for myself to just be a little chatty, selfish bitch sometimes. And I can be a jealous person. I can be really petty. And it all stems from like not feeling enough. And so if you can extend that to me.
And I play golf too much.
And you play golf too much. And it's like.
That's it though.
No,
that's my only fault.
That's your only fault. Like, we're just. I really, yeah, we're I like human. That they see us as humans.
And well, I think sometimes though, like if they come to us as a place of like laughter and silliness
and reprieve,
and then we're like, we're just bringing more stress.
No, I knew
to them
when we did our fight episodes and we couldn't get out of it. Cause guys, besties have been in fights where they can't get out of it, where you just go, I can't move on to the news with my husband right now, or whatever that version of.
And we can't talk about it off air sometimes. And like, it just, so but I do think a lot of people get positive out of showing that we're human.
A daily show is going to have moments of disappointing you and being not good or not the best, because in order to have the best, you have to have low points. And I think that's something that I love about our show. And I've only felt comfortable being this vulnerable and this, you know, like I've said, when we have an argument, I don't want to move on to the news like nothing happened, because even though that awkwardness is real, and maybe pointing out that it's awkward now is real, and it's the only way to get past it because we don't have enough time to work it out. I'll at least address that. But I just feel like sometimes I need to finish an argument with you or get my feelings out, because it's the most honest thing to do, even though I know the show is suffering. And I hope that you understand that I don't always put besties first and their interests sometimes in those moments that I get caught up in my own ego. And I want to remember, though, that the show is for you, and but it is for us too. But for me, the best show I can make is one that everyone benefits from. But I will say that the Taylor Swift thing, what it was able for me, something that she did that I was really like hurt by personally, and that I felt like betrayed or whatever by this person that it, literally I'm probably in love with. She heard a joke on a Netflix show called Georgie and Frankie, or not, no, it's like, anyway, there was a joke on a show on Netflix that everyone was watching at a time. It's between a mother and a daughter. And the mother said, you go through guys like Taylor Swift, faster than Taylor Swift. And Taylor sent out a tweet that was like, come on, Netflix, you can do better than this. Really? Like, you're going to, I don't know exact wording, but she was annoyed by this joke. And to me, as a comedian who writes jokes, I was like, Taylor, you're famous. You open yourself up to that. And it's like such an innocuous joke. Like, why the big deal about them saying you date a lot of people? You've been in a relationship for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. That's the old version of you. That's a shitty joke. You know it is. Let it slide.
Because I think it probably, like you said, whatever, they're going to listen to the Zach Sherwin thing, how you were like insecure about not feeling dirty. Mm-hmm. She's probably has those same feelings of like, yeah, I do write a lot of songs about a lot of guys, but that doesn't necessarily mean I've been through a ton of guys. I'm sure she's so insecure about stuff like that.
No, and she's had responses to different jokes. Like I think one time Amy Poehler and Tina Fey made jokes about her in this similar fashion, probably much more like comedically executed at the Golden Globes or something. And she wrote, well, there's a special place in hell, I think she said, for people like that. And I kind of loved, I mean, I hated it at the time because I was like, Taylor Swift thinks I'm going to help because I would have made that joke. But she was just talking. And that's just a thing, people, it's a turn of phrase. She didn't actually say, first of all, I forgive anyone who, I overreact to things sometimes all the time. So the overreaction was what I was mad about. I was like, it's such an innocuous joke. Why'd she get so upset? And then I go, I think I know. Not only is it just this tired joke she is so fucking tired of hearing, and she's been in a relationship for 5 years. Why is this even still coming up? And it's also bad for young girls to think that dating a lot and like having experiences is like a shameful thing, which it's not. So she's mad about all of that. The example this joke is setting for young girls, the attack on her that isn't even representative of her anymore or never really was. But then I realized, I bet Taylor Swift had just released these two albums, was doing a lot of press, getting so much attention, a lot of people's opinions about her everywhere. And she was having, maybe she was having a day where it was just like someone sent her something she didn't even want to see. And it was just like, fuck, they're saying this about me, or I look bad in this picture, or whatever it is, feeling bad about herself because of something, or just having a day of too much attention. She goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out of my own life and forget that I'm a superstar for a second, that everyone has an opinion about. And I'm going to live in a world where Taylor Swift doesn't even exist, where I'm not going to be ridiculed, where I'm not going to be judged. And she's invested in the show. She's 3 episodes in.
It's a woman's show. She's curled up on the couch. Women. Yeah.
She's just a normal girl. And then out of nowhere, sucker punched by this dumb joke that snaps her back into it and makes her realize that nowhere is truly safe for her. Only old literature before she existed, old shows, that she is constantly going to have to live her life worried that she's going to be with someone she cares about and they're going to have to like defend her, or she's going to have to defend herself. And I got it. I got it. All made sense. So Taylor had every right to send that tweet because it was what she was feeling in that moment. And we can't pretend to understand someone's circumstance when they act in a way that we don't agree with. So you don't know what happened to me the morning before I start doing my podcast. Maybe I'll tell you. Most likely I'll tell you. But sometimes I don't even know. It's subconscious. So thank you for that amazing, amazing letter, Brandy. I appreciate you. What next?
Okay, next up.
Oh, it's a voice memo.
Yes, from Emily. She needs your help.
Hey, Noah, Nikki, and Andrew. This is Emily from Minneapolis. And I love the podcast. I've been listening since you up. Nikki and Andrew, and I guess Noah too, were, you know, keeping me company during the pandemic. Nikki, you were basically like my best friend in the pandemic. But anyways, so I am going through a breakup, and I relate a lot to a lot of the breakup moments that you described, Nikki, and I'm breaking up with like the one. And I never listened to Taylor Swift before, but now I do. And it's because it's the only thing that truly matches this breakup. And music is great, and I think I'm good on that, but like if you have any advice or recommendations for just like being strong and like trying to be a bad bitch and not cry every day about this stupid breakup and about still wanting to be together with this guy, you know? But anyways, any advice would help from either one of you. I hope that you're having a wonderful weekend, and thank you so much, Jackpot.
I love you so much. What was her name again?
Emily.
Emily, oh my God. I hear the heartbreak in your voice, and it's like, it breaks my heart, and I wish I could just like pull you out of it in like, I'm just racking my brain right now trying to get something that will put together that will help you. But here's my advice. First of all, great job on Taylor Swift. Please DM me and let's exchange the songs that get us through the most, and I can turn you on to some new ones because she has a huge catalog. And I want to also say, check out This American Life. There's an episode called The Breakup, and it's exactly this. It's someone writing into This American Life saying, I'm going through a breakup. I really need like to just some support, and it's just a great episode for that. Also, I saw it last night, the episode of Song Exploder on Netflix, Dua Lipa's episode. She writes a song. She talks about her experience writing a song, and she was getting out of a relationship that she thought was the one. And she wrote a song about when she meets the next guy and how she never thought she wrote a song from the perspective of a woman falling in love with a guy, with someone after going through a breakup where you thought it was the one, like the next person that she didn't even know existed. And guess what? He did. Like she ended up writing a song about a mystery person and going and putting, manifesting it. She was like, I wanted to do a manifestation song. You know, she was like, just like, I didn't even know if I was able to like find someone else, but I wanted to just come from that perspective. And so maybe whatever you do, that's a creative endeavor. And even if you don't have one, maybe write in a journal and just write to yourself right now. Write to the self that you are in pain and write to yourself, like, write, Dear Emily. And then you can, like, literally burn these pages afterwards, because if they're embarrassing, and this exercise could be embarrassing, write to yourself right now from yourself in a relationship that makes the one you just got out of look insane. Like, just experiment with this. It's just a thing that I would advise myself to do this. I've never even tried this. I've often written notes to myself from God. If you believe in God, you can maybe write a letter to God from you now and then write what God would say to you. Like that, like write what the benevolent spirit energy that wants the best for you, what would that person say in response to the letter you wrote? Those are two exercises I think that would really help. But also turn this into something. No matter what, like right now, you turned it into this. There's art being made right now because of your breakup. and you sound young, and I just want you to know that you truly will get over this person, or you might get back together with this person. And I always want to tell people when they're going through breakups, this story ain't over, because you don't want to hear you'll find someone better. You don't want to hear there's someone else out there. You don't want to hear he was a piece of shit. You want to hear you could, it's just not now, but you could be back with this person. Take it from me. I have like gone back to exes years later where you go, it's burned to the ground. Don't ever, you don't need to lose hope for being with this person. It's just not now. So no matter what everyone's telling you, there's someone else. The someone else might be that person just at a different time. And also listen to the song Romeo and Juliet by Indigo Girls. It's a cover of the Dire Straits song Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet get Indigo Girls on Spotify. Listen to that song and think about the Romeo character being this guy asking for you back. And that helped me visualizing this guy coming back and singing the song to me someday, like on my underneath my balcony, made me be able to get through a pretty hard breakup recently. Andrew, any advice?
Yeah, I just think, like, to your point, the, you know, you said he's the one, and he might be the one, like Nikki said, in the future, but that doesn't mean you have to, like, wait around for him to, like, come back. You know what I mean? Like, work on yourself. Like, understand that you now have time to just be selfish and not care about, you know, him or any other, like, you're not working on yourself to meet someone else that's going to take his place. You could just literally focus on yourself and being the best version of yourself, and you have time to do that that maybe you didn't have before. And so that's what all I, like, I think the best advice for a breakup is, like, just don't think, like, how am I going to replace this? Or how is this going to come back? How can I, like, take care of myself the best way possible, and that's emotionally, physically, and you have the time now, which is great.
If this is a breakup where you get replaced in his life by someone, or you feel like you were rejected because of something you didn't do right, and you're not good enough for this guy, which is mostly how breakups end, is you feel like you don't want to end. When you get broken up with, you just go, oh my god, I wasn't good enough for this person. Clearly, they're rejecting you. But something that Rachel Feinstein told me one time, when a guy that, there's no reason why this guy shouldn't like me. Like, why doesn't, and the truth is, they aren't capable. It's not because you're not hot enough. It's not because you're not cool enough or whatever enough. They literally, a lot of times, guys or girls cannot, they don't have it within them to love as much as you require needing love. Like, I require someone to, like, be pretty obsessed with me and give me a lot of attention. And that is not for every guy. There is someone out there, though, that will match my needs. And I don't need to diminish my needs. I don't need to be less needy or, like, want that. I need to, the exact way, whatever you want is what you want, and don't feel bad about it. Rachel, I remember, told me, she goes, this wanting this guy to love you, he literally is incapable of the kind of love that you seek in a relationship. But he's good to be with a girl who won't require that, who also has the kind of same similar makeup of someone who's like, I don't need that. I don't need deep love because she probably can't feel it. So usually people that aren't able to give love tend to seek people who aren't ready to accept love. So they find each other, and then that just turns into a big old mess. But I found now that when I get rejected, it might not be true, but I always tell myself they couldn't love me as much as I needed to be loved. And I look to the sky, and I got rejected recently once. I got rejected recently hard on a thing that I had so much hope for. I was in love, all these things, and I got a text that's cemented. It started to stink, and I'm going to get to eat it from a pickle jar in a little bit, but
yeah, kombucha now.
It ended in this text, and I seriously felt, I was like, I want to go cry. I can't wait to listen to Taylor Swift. I can't wait to call all my friends. But the first reaction, I swear to God, as I looked up, like, at God or whatever, and I just said, thank you. Thank you for protecting me from this person and doing what I couldn't do for myself, letting them take themselves away from me, because that would have caused me a fuckload of pain, and I wasn't ready to end it, even though it's not good now. And I just said, thank you. And I was able to turn that rejection into, like, God made that happen. Like the, because I'm not strong enough yet to reject that kind of thing. That's not good enough for me. Someone had to step in and go, no, she doesn't, she can't handle that.
No, I like
take
that.
Take that away from her right now. It's like a parent being like, he's not allowed to have those sweets. I know you want it, but you can't, he's going to choke on that. And you also, want that candy, but you were going to choke on it, bitch.
Also, go get dick down, you know? Get
no, a good dick. No, 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 do not do that. Brandy, no. Or Emily, no. Emily, no.
Just get a good dicker down, you
and
know?
Brandy's not listening anymore. We know she drops
off.
Yeah. I'm not sure you guys would give her this advice, but something that really helped me during a really, really, really bad breakup where someone broke up with me, is that I just binged comedy. I just watched so many comedy specials and it was awesome.
Yes. Try to watch things that like uplift you. Even watch Ted Lasso. Literally go watch Ted Lasso, Emily, immediately. And I only say that as someone who was going through the worst depression last year, and I reluctantly watched it because my friends were in it and I had to for work, kind of. Because, like, you know, professional relationships were on the line if I didn't consume this thing. And then I ended up, it got me out of my depression. Ted Lasso. Next voice memo from
Rachel.
Hi, Nikki, Rachel. Andrew, and Noah. I have two things, so I'll try to be real quick. The first one is I really, really, really hope y'all add Houston to your tour, because the last show I saw was y'all in Houston before everything shut down. And I had just the worst experience right before the show. I was sobbing and I couldn't even enjoy the show because I was just thinking about what had just happened before. And so I'm hoping y'all come back to Houston. I can make up for that really bad experience and see y'all again and actually get to enjoy it this time. And secondly, I just wanted to thank both of y'all for always being so open about not drinking. I bought that book that Nikki has recommended, and it is a game changer. So I love that y'all are open and positive about that, and I'm looking forward to being in the same boat. So thanks again. Love the pod. Love y'all. Bye.
Oh my gosh. Love her so much. Can I just really quick say I tuned out of what happened that night because I got a text and I got distracted.
She didn't say what it was. She
just didn't
said,
say
but
it.
She wasn't able to go?
She was able to go, but she couldn't enjoy the show because something bad had happened to her before.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And you know what? Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to be honest. I did tune out because I got a text that was supposed to be a yes or no, and it was like a paragraph, and then I got swept into it. So I apologize for that. But that was already such a stressful time with COVID.
I love your hair, by the way. Like that, you look so 80s right now.
Really? What like, is it?
Doesn't she look
like... I
know, like,
you were like kind of gazing at me and I'm like, oh, he's judging me because I smoked pot. He's like thinking I'm off my game today.
No.
But really, you were like, I like her hair.
Yeah. I think you look like if you're... What's the wrestling show?
Glow.
I'm in like a hair band, right?
Glow. You could be a main actress in Glow.
I know, I'm really leaning into 80s. Like, my hair...
No, you look
this,
badass. Like, I like it like that.
It's crazy, great, but I just hair. Like... Thank you. Headphone hair. Bedhead. it was that show. Was that her last show?
It was
Dallas, Houston. We did that last weekend
House
before
of Blues.
Things shut down. Yeah, it was a weird show because everything was like coming to an end. It was right before the beginning of the end. And I do hope to reschedule in Houston. And sorry for whatever happened to you. That's another thing. Like, you never know what the audience is
they're going through real shit.
And like Noah said to Emily, like, watch comedy to get out of your head. Like, I do know that people go to comedy shows and like get to forget their worries. And sometimes I mean, I could have brought up something that triggered something for dear Lucy. What's her name?
Rachel.
Dear Rachel. Sorry, Rach. I could have, you know, I don't think it sounded like it wasn't something I said, but like, honestly, I've ruined people's nights because of something I said that triggered them. And like I talked about on Bill Maher, like if I talk about molestation, someone's going to get triggered. There've been people molested in the audience. That person running to the bathroom having a panic attack, I will apologize to you afterwards, but I hope my joke about it that made you suffer will do more good because all the other people that were able to hear it because they didn't suffer that trauma. But I will have a private talk with you and give you my apologies for making you feel that way and try to explain my reasoning and maybe learn that it's not worth it for what I made you feel. But
and the not drinking thing.
God,
how
many shows have you been to, by the way?
Oh.
Like concerts, shows where you got into a fight on the way there and then you hate the person you're with the whole time, or like something happened and you're just like not in the mood.
There's nothing like worse than when you're in a bad mood and you should be the happiest you've ever been. It makes you more upset because you're like, because you can't be, I can't enjoy Dave.
Yep.
Because you fucking, you know, I don't know, didn't pick me up and for like an hour. You were an hour late because you were having sex with my best friend.
Oh, man.
And now I can't enjoy Dave Matthews.
I went to a Lorde concert and she was young. So she was like still finding her like stage presence. And it was a cool thing to see, but it was actually a good show. I don't want to criticize it all. I love Lorde. It was after her first album and my ex and I on the way there got ice cream and something happened where it was just like, I said something, he did something and it just took a really terrible turn where we were having that moment where
it was a rocky road.
That's so stupid and funny. It was at Cold Stone. I tipped them so they'd start singing and I didn't have to like deal with his steely silence. It was at Cold Stone though, but I remember something happened in there and I was just like so sad. He was so mad. And we went to the show and it was like so uncomfortable because all I wanted to do was sing and dance. And I could tell that he like hated everything about me and was not going to want to see me be joyous.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to respect that of like not being annoying. It was awful. We left early. So I want to remember that though before I do shows to like try to either upend that or just honor it.
And I'm just, I honestly like, never thought about sobriety or like not drink because I didn't go to AA. I didn't do certain things. Like I had rock bottoms, but not like a rock bottom. So I never really think about like being any kind of role model in regards to not drinking. But like if we could show that we're cool and fun and chill and can go out and like show other people that like you can be your best fucking self and be a goddamn rock star without drinking, like that means so much to me. And it really does. And like her acknowledging that, and I don't know, I just like, I
forget that people, that to me was such an early thing that I had to dispel for people of like, how do you have fun? And now it's been almost 10 years of not drinking alcohol. And it's like, that's so not even, it's just laughable that that's the only way you could have fun now. I always say to people, like, the fun you thought you were having, you suddenly are in the, go to the same things, do the same stuff, don't drink, and then see if it's fun. If it's fun, you'll stay. And if it's not fun, you'll just leave. And guess what? They won't even know that you left because they're drunk. So what stopping drinking does is make you go towards the things that are genuinely fun and not stay at the things that are fake fun.
Yes. And not things that you don't want to be at that you then try to make fun through drinking.
Yeah, you just go, actually, I don't want to go to that thing that's only I can only do if I'm drunk. And it's scary. Listen, if you're out there and you're like not wanting to hear this, you're not ready, enjoy it. And fucking enjoy drinking because it is wonderful. It's good times. But if you're ready to maybe consider stepping away from it, like our listener shared, Rachel, you can, I love that she had so many good things that I thought she was a separate caller. You can pick up that book, Alan Carr, Easy Way. There's tons of them for alcohol. And there's one like Easy Way to Moderate Drinking. I would just say go all in on the one that's to stop drinking. And if you're ready, the book, take your time with the book. You will start to feel the book working. And it gets scary, and maybe you'll put it down because you're not ready to stop drinking. That's what I had to do with the Stop Smoking book. I was not ready to stop smoking, so I was like, I feel it working. I don't like this. I'm not ready to, I put it away. But then I had a bad experience with cigarettes, and I was just like, pick it up, read it quick. So just buy the book to have on your shelf to just sit there for when you're having a moment where you're like, I really want to be fucking done with this, and then just read the fuck out of it. And you can drink while you read it, by the way, so you don't have to quit before you read. Again,
don't
that's Alan Carr.
Don't drink too much, though, because then you won't remember any of the chapters.
You'll know to go back. He walks you through it. He repeats himself so much because he knows he's dealing with, drugs.
And
by the way,
we're
not perfect. I smoke weed still. So I had an eating disorder for most of those 10 years. So like other things get amplified. It's not a fix all, but it definitely was a huge changing factor in my life before and after drinking. Brian.
Okay, Brian has something he wants to get ahead of. Interesting observation.
Hey guys, I'll keep this under a minute. That's good advice on the show today. I just want to comment on Nikki and David Spade. Because Nikki, I think that's your guy. I think you guys would go really well together. I've been a fan of his for a little while now. I think I like it. Well, you know, I'm 5'8", 150 pounds. I think I've appreciated seeing, you know, more like a wiry mid, you know, in Hollywood, just crush it for decades.
Yes, Brian,
like,
yes. Oh my,
like all of the women. It's pretty impressive. But, he's got that sensitive side too. He's kind of got that, he's got that feminine energy thing going,
hell
which
yes.
I always talk about.
Hell yes.
I don't know. I think that's, I just wanted to call it
he's
out
the
now
one.
Because I think you guys have some, could have some real compatibility there. And an opportunity for kind of that, you know, mutual admiration, mutual respect, which, you know, I'm sure is probably hard for
we for look both alike in certain lights.
And so I think I just want to call it now.
All right.
There it is.
Thanks, Brian. I love this. People have said this in comments when I've posted hanging out with him. David Spade is truly one of my being friends with him is one of my greatest accomplishments in life. It feels like just a dream come true. He is someone that I even was talking about yesterday, and I said something like, if you know, my potential husband is jealous of my relationship with Spade or in any way makes it so I can hang out with him less, I will not entertain that relationship. So it sounds like dating David Spade would make sense then. But I will say that is not our relationship. When I met him, he had a girlfriend. He is now single, but it just still hasn't taken that, gone to that level. And I think that's, even though I freaking love him and he is sexy and like I see him work. There's a reason why David Spade gets women. It's because he's charming as fuck. He's confident and he's hot. He just is. Even my mom, when we went out to dinner in LA, she's like, he looks 27. He looks, I mean, he's the same. She was like, hey, Nikki, you gotta go out. She was like so sold. That's like, I don't.
She likes him because he's 5'7", 150 pounds.
Yeah. What do you mean?
No, I'm just that she is as well.
Oh, yeah. She just wants to match up. I'm not saying it will never happen because I don't put anything off the table, but for now it's like we both don't want each other in that
way. I could see something like that for you though. I mean, whether it's him or not, I could see, you know, the age gap does like there. It is pretty, I mean, granted I'm dating a 25-year-old.
Don't know how old he is. I think I looked it up once and I've like forgotten it. But the thing is, I want to be with someone who has certain things that they're like. I have certain requirements that he doesn't meet, not because he's not good enough. He could meet them, but I have a lot that I wouldn't meet his knowing what he's attracted to too. So I would say that for us to be together, we'd have to change a little bit.
Yes.
But that would be probably good changes. And who knows? But the age thing doesn't bother me. Wait, what? How old is he, Noah?
I think he's probably 60, 58. Maybe.
Man, I was going to say 52. I'm way off.
Maybe I'm way off.
He seriously literally, I mean, you've been
56.
Okay.
56.
He has the energy. He does eat dinner at 5 o'clock, but that's the only characteristic of him that would lead you to think he's older. He's very
just plain
spry.
Chicken and broccoli. But my thing with you is that you don't want kids. So that actually opens up the window, I think, for you to fuck. You could date a 140-year-old. It doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't have to still be alive to throw the football when they're 17. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No,
like you not having kids, I think, opens.
And it opens to them dying and I having like another love of my life.
Which
like,
is their money.
Like, yeah. You know, like, I don't know. I know that sounds, I'm saying that like you think that's a joke, but I'm not. Like, I kind of like the idea of an older man, like getting great years with them, either splitting up when it's time to do it or.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't think relationships should be forever. Like, I don't know that I want that. I want to, even if something I do want it to be forever, I entertain the fact that it might not be, and that's going to be okay. And that the best thing for us.
Well, there's something to be said about dating someone else who kind of also has, like, a temporary relationship kind of mindset where maybe forever is a little much.
Yes. Yeah. And I am, like, really, I mean, I love listening to Dave talk about girls because he's just like, he's good with women. I like hearing, you know, like I'm kind of turned on by those stories. Not like with my friend Dave, but like I could even like I could see myself being like, oh my God, like that's hot. Like he gets hot chicks. I'd feel like one of the hot chicks. So I love David Spade, and I love that that person thinks that we should be together. It's very flattering. Noah, next caller.
Okay. A very sweet message from Paisley.
Oh, this says anonymous.
Hi, my name's Paisley. I am from Wisconsin, and I listen to the podcast every single day on my way to my slavery job in corporate America. And I just have to say that every time Andrew wheezes when he laughs, a little bit of my soul comes back to me.
Aww.
And it's just the best thing that I've ever heard in my life. So thank you, Andrew, for wheezing when you laugh. And thanks, Nikki, for making the rest of us laugh for real reasons, not just a wheeze laugh. So,
oh my God.
Guys.
Well, that was kind of shitty at the end there, Paisley.
Paisley, you know I loved that. That I was feeling a little left out. Dude. You know the insecure, egotistical Nikki in
Paisley.
Really was... I was feeling a little sad that I didn't get a shout out. And then I was like, oh, actually, I make the wheezes happen sometimes, even though you a lot of times you are wheezing at your own things that we're laughing at. But
well, I'm just having trouble breathing. I'm getting older.
Oh, my God. No, people love your wheezy laugh. How long have you been getting told about that laugh and like made fun of for it, or like, you know, commented on it?
A long time.
Yeah.
A long time. I think I used to laugh a little bit louder when I was I don't know. Mm. I think I just... The older you get, it's just like it takes a lot to laugh loud. So I think the wheeze is a way to get to a laugh without killing yourself.
Yes.
That makes sense. But yeah, no.
I think sneezes and laughs are really, you could study them and learn a lot about that person, because they were built of either feeling comfortable with themselves being loud, or maybe needing a loud sneeze to get attention because they didn't get enough. There's a lot of like psychoanalysis that you can, because it's a thing you choose.
Oh, what, like how deaf loud you laugh?
Yeah. Deaf people don't make a noise when they sneeze. So it's honestly a thing that you're doing that you don't need to do.
Oh, wow.
And it's doing something socially for you that we don't know, but there's...
Well, there's definitely something to like laughing loud. The same person that laughs like obnoxiously loud will probably listen to their music on their phone without headphones. Like they're not really self-aware, or they like the attention of it.
Oh my God, there's this one Reddit clip that is probably the most amazing video. It's famous, and it's because they were sharing things on Contagious Laughter, like the subreddit. What is a video that makes you laugh every time you put it on? It is a... Noah, can you find it? It is called Old Man Can't Stop Laughing. I think it'll come up, and it's at some comedy show. There's it's like a Branson-esque comedy show where they invite three members of the audience and this really funny guy who has a line for everything doing crowd work with these three old men. And one of the men starts laughing at his banter with one of the other guys sitting next to him. And the guy in the middle is laughing so hard. It's three guys on a stage, and it's like a farm setting. And the guy in the middle starts laughing so hard, and he's not mic'd, but everyone on stage is like, holy shit, this laugh is so crazy. And then the guy keeps doing the material with the guy next to him. The laugh doesn't stop. He just gets a microphone and puts the mic in front of this guy. The crowd and everyone on stage laughs for 10 minutes straight with nothing happening except this guy's laugh. And it makes them laugh for so long they can't stop. Noah, were you able to find it? Yes. So I would go to about like a third of the way in, and we'll get a sample of it. Can you tell people what to search for so they can look at this? Because I want people to watch the whole video, but we're not going to show it now.
Funny old man laughing on YouTube.
Okay, so here we go. This is the point
where the show may be over.
The show may be over. So they're already laughing so much at his laugh, but listen. You guys, this video, how long is this video, Noah?
It's 9 minutes.
Yeah,
they only at three.
You're at 3 minutes. They do. There's six more minutes of hysterical laughter that just... And he doesn't want attention. He's just like a sweet old man in a yellow shirt.
That's why it works.
Yeah. So sometimes I think these laughs that are...
He sounds like Porky Pig a little bit.
Thank you, Noah. So sometimes I think these people are... They're just that laugh.
But
from,
that laugh,
I mean,
is
he worked in a pigsty or something. But it's so cute.
I think there was this girl at an open mic, and she would laugh like ha 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 ha, and it wasn't about... Everyone hated the laugh. Like Have you ever hated someone's life? Like, we all hated because, one, it felt like she wanted the attention at the open mic. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, like, yeah. People tried it, definitely.
And, yeah, and it would actually drown out. Other people wouldn't laugh because her laugh was so horrible.
Yes. Because, well.
Also, you're in a room full of comics that are all, like, pessimists, like,
and I think
assholes,
that sometimes so people sometimes I laugh in a way to give support to the comic on stage because I know that they need it as a comedian. So sometimes I'll project a laugh in a way, or
but a laugh can take you off your game a little bit if it's like obnoxious from the audience.
You've had that before, where it's just a woman that has a bad laugh and she's not trying to get attention. She's like that guy in the yellow shirt where it's like, she can't help it, and calling, and you don't want to kick her out, but it's so distracting.
You're getting heckled in the nicest way possible.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Most heckles are like nice, but it's one that she can't even help too.
That's what everyone asks too. Like whenever they meet, like, you're a comedian, how do you deal with the hecklers? And it's like, easily. Like, it's not.
First of all, you just talk so much that they never get a chance to say anything.
Well, that's
But when they do throw you.
But most heckles aren't, like you said, they're usually like they don't even know they're heckled.
But I struggle with it. I struggle with hecklers. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't want, because I will ultimately just say the true thing, which isn't very. Well, sometimes now I'm finding it. I can handle it now, but there was probably, 15 years that I was. Never wanted any audience interaction because I just didn't trust myself to be funny. But now I'm just honest. But sometimes it can just create a dip that you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
the rhythm is off.
The private gig I did on Saturday, I went through a whole hour show and only had one awkward moment in a room of 50 people going up cold. That is, Chris Rock might have the same like thing. Not having one awkward moment, I was like, oh, I'm elite. Like but even that awkward moment was still really uncomfortable and I had to dig myself out of it and I hated it, but those never stop.
You telling me about that gig and how you handle, I'm just like so impressed. I mean, I wasn't even there and I could just tell that you took over that room where, and I just know those kind of people just because I'm from Palm Beach, like Florida, like. And you just went in there and I don't know. It takes a different level of like.
I put on a character. I had a pep talk with myself and I was like, you are a superstar. They are so excited to have you here. You have been doing this forever. You are truly the Taylor Swift of comedy in terms of like how long you've been at it, what you've accomplished within your field. Walk in there like Taylor Swift. And I did.
I think so like fun. What happens
and they felt that energy
is when people are around people with a lot of money and a lot of wealth. They instantly will go, I don't have that much money. I drive a shittier car, whatever. I'm not worthy of their attention. And you so are.
Oh.
Like, that's like.
And I do have as much wealth as them, or I'm on my way to it. But not even. No, some people are like. But
my point is like, don't put people on a pedestal.
I never did that. That would have not. But that's a you thing you're putting on.
Oh, for sure.
I would never be.
But I don't think I'm alone.
Scared around rich people. Yes. Yeah. Even when I was broke, I was just like, you think you're cool. This is all. I just want to say, last night I went to a dinner in an amazing restaurant in town in St. Louis, and so delicious.
Which one?
Greatest ambiance, Louis.
Oh, I wanted
to go
there.
So fucking good. I signed one of the plates because they have famous people sign their plates. Yeah. And I wrote, John Hamm and I had the most romantic dinner here. Date here. Thanks so much for helping us celebrate our anniversary or something. And I wrote Nikki. Which I was really proud of that
one. Yeah, that was good.
Because I know he's going to see it. Because it's the coolest place to eat in St. Louis. He's from here. So, I hate the members that the waiter has to come up and tell us every ingredient that's in the specials and do this whole thing that they memorize and they're kind of rattling it off. I hate that when they deliver it, they have to tell you what everything is, even though you know what it is. And they have all these like presentations. And last night I was complaining about it. I go, I love this place. Let's get rid of that stuff. And they go, but it's like, that's like that's what some people come here and expect. They want that. And I go, it's elitist and it's stupid and it's a waste of everyone's time. It's a waste of that girl's energy to memorize that on the way to work instead of listening to a bunch of songs she might want to play to get her amped for work to be in a good mood. It's a waste of her time to go, oh, the ragu, the sauce with the rigatoni and the béarnaise and like it's making her life worse. Maybe she likes it, but I'm guessing not. She did a great job of it. Shout out to her. The chef delivering the things and telling us what each of it is. It's like it interrupts the conversation that we were having. And sometimes you need that because it's awkward. You need some kind of thing.
Sometimes it feels like it's about the waiter showing off.
It's this all this presentation of
which
being waited on.
Which I guess is the restaurant showing off. Yeah.
And slip like the turn down service. It's all rich people just being rich, and it's pointless, and it doesn't add that much more to your life. Dude. It just makes people work for you so you can sit there and go, I'm rich. And it serves no purpose. Write it on a menu. Write the fucking specials on a menu.
Yeah.
You literally a whiteboard. She can come up to the table and go, I'm going to leave this here, or do you want me to tell you about it?
Do you want the
and
number go, three or the
I'd
number
go
five?
I go leave them. Yeah. But Louie, by the way, in St. Louis, that is the restaurant in town for sure. Delicious. And everyone there was so nice, and they're just doing what rich people want.
Tonight.
Yeah, you should. Next listen. Mail.
I gotta piss, so man.
Go piss.
All right, just take this one.
Sorry, Noah.
Okay.
Just take this one. Okay. I'll pee.
Andrew's gonna go pee, and I'm gonna take this one real quick. I'll catch him up. Don't worry.
Okay. This one's from Courtney.
Hey guys, I was just listening to the newest podcast and thought I had to tell you this story. In middle school, there was this boy in science who was supposed to read the word organism. And only said orgasm for about, like, reading maybe 3 pages of the textbook.
Oh, where was your
so
teacher?
So much so where that's what everyone talked about that whole day, about how embarrassing it was for him and how the teacher had to stop and say, it's organism, and then everyone realized, and then he was saying orgasm. And then
your teacher
year,
dropped the ball. Oh, my God.
He wrote his college essay about that.
Oh!
How crazy.
That's cute.
Like, I guess because had like reading problems, so I mean it was a very touching essay.
Cute.
But that's literally how the intro of the essay went about that.
Whoa.
Bye.
Oh, and it's funny that you remember it. I wonder how you ended up hearing his essay. Maybe you're friends with him. Yeah, that's really cool that he turned that into a good thing, because how embarrassing. And I remember people mixing those words up and not really knowing what an orgasm was. You that young, I forget how young you said you were at the time, but like, you sometimes think I've just said the most disgusting bad thing. Like, you don't understand that orgasm is like how you were made, and it's like kind of scientific. So it's not that, just, and your teacher's reaction, like, that's sometimes why I want to be a teacher, so I can be like, oh my gosh, he said orgasm instead of organism. Oh my gosh. I do that all the time. I've heard like really famous, cool people always get that mixed up. So I'd turn it and make it cool for him and try to, that's what teachers need to do, is
it's like Billy Madison.
Mitigate that stuff. Yeah, peeing in your pants is cool. Yes, yeah. Yes. All right. So orgasm was the mix up. And he turned it into a college essay. This girl told us about. Okay, let's go to Stu. What's Stu got to say?
Hi, besties. I have a pretty good mispronunciation. I was in my younger years working as an associate at Blockbuster Video up here in Canada. I was approached by a customer while I was working in the aisles. He asked me if the movie Chaos had been returned. I looked blankly. I was like, I'm not familiar with that title, sir.
Pause it. Chaos. What do you think he was talking about?
I don't know. My brain initially went to like Chaos. I don't even know if that's a word. And then...
I'm trying to think of like what
Chaos.
Let's keep listening. Maybe we'll get another clue before he reveals it.
And why don't you show me the box and we'll see if we can figure out this one. So, walks over to its location in the store, and the movie is in fact titled Chaos. I was able to maintain a poker face until the gentleman left the store.
Chaos.
And then I had a good old chuckle with my coworkers. And to this day, that is one of my favorite mispronunciations of my life. Hope you guys
fucking
are having all this well.
Great.
Take care.
You would think you would mispronounce it Chaos, but...
But it, yeah, it was
that's
just
why
Chaos.
Chaos was...
Yeah, I was thinking different, but like, of course, you think of a C-H word, C-H-A, you're gonna... Chaos is... That's a chaotic word.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a
hard
one to spell. Chaos. I could see you.
Chaotic.
Chaotic. That's funny though, and him trying to like. I was thinking maybe it had like, if it was Saw 2 or something, you would think it was like Sawi.
But do you?
Because it was S A W I I, and he would be like, "Do you guys have Sawi?" And they're like, "What?"
Do you feel like though?
Sawi. Oh.
Yes, it would be him not telling him it's chaos. I feel like it's a disservice to the guy.
Agreed. But he was young and it was awkward.
You gotta be honest with him.
Yeah, just be honest. That's so funny. All right. More mispronunciations? Yes. Jess.
Hey, guys. Jess here. Such a big fan of the podcast. I've been listening
since
the first episode. I've got a mispronunciation for you. And this word is something that my teacher said. This was back in fourth grade. We were reading stories for Halloween. And she said the word macabre.
Oh, and macabre.
I won't give you the real word in case you want to guess what I'm saying. But she said macabre. And I knew it was the wrong word at the time, but I didn't want to correct her.
Fourth grade?
I thought I would embarrass her. And we loved it so much.
Jess, you knew what macabre?
Still pronounce the word macabre that way today. We always see it and say it that way.
I would say the r at the end.
Love you guys. Thanks.
This, the saddest part is like some of these, I hear them and I go, what's a macabre? Like, I don't even know what that is.
Macabre is when it's something is very dark. Gloomy and like dark and like Halloween-y, pretty much. Halloween-y.
Macabre actually works for, it's like abracadabra, macabre.
Macabre.
It's kind of a fun.
It does. I like it.
Like, it's a macabre.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like a bird, a parrot, that a French parrot, a macabre.
Oh, yeah, yeah, macabre.
Yeah.
I feel like these mispronunciations, like, oh my God.
It's fine. Mind amensia. I think you were.
Yeah, mind amensia.
The pronunciation, mind amensia.
It's a mesopa. You know what's one word that, Tenochtitlan is a word that I always think of. Do you know what that is?
Well, no.
It was Mexico City.
Oh.
And I, Tenochtitlan. I just remember my history teacher from high school. I was going, Tenochtitlan.
Oh, the one that gets me. I still can't say it. O-A-X, it's Oxoxa. Like, it's a Spanish, it's a Mexican town, I think. Oxoxa.
Oh, yeah. O-A-X. In California, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it definitely has, like, offshoots, like, that. It gets referenced all the time, I think, that's, like, in food. Do you know what I'm talking about, Noah?
Oxtail?
No, it has no, it doesn't sound like it's written at all. Hold on, let me just, like, type it in real quick, because people just, yeah, Oxaca. O-A-X-A-C-A. And it's Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
Oaxaca. That word really throws me. All the time. I can't ever remember the pronunciation, and I apologize to any Spanish-speaking peoples out there for my butchering of your language.
I was thinking, like, the mispronunciation, like, what if, you know, whoever made the word wanted it to sound differently, and then someone else, like, ran with it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, mispronunciation, I'm just saying, like, with, like, then and then.
I like that, like, that girl has a joke with her sister, though, because there was this girl in a high school play that me and my sister saw, and she was, the line was, and my moron sister, but for some reason her mind was thinking about the next line. Warren. She goes, and my moron sisty. And we were like, we thought saying sisty instead of sister was so funny, and so I always call her hey moron, and it's short for moron sisty, because we just thought that was it was like our inside joke. So
yeah, and it's just so ironic just to call someone a moron and then say the
my
word
moron sisty
to literally be a moron right after saying moron.
Yes, that's good.
I did that with Reykjavik. I told my older brother, I was like, she was, you know, the Polish. Oh, she's from Reykjavik, you know, the Polish. She didn't seem that smart. And Reykjavik is obviously in Iceland.
The irony.
I lined out. The I learned
beautiful
later.
Irony. All right. Let's finish up. One more.
Chrysanthemum, I can't
say.
Oh,
boy. I don't even.
I say handsome thumbs. Chrysanthemum. Chrysanthemum. Jesus.
Chrysanthemums. Oof. I just, I don't like it either. Oh, look at this
name. Look at this guy's name.
Artina.
It's a girl, I think.
Artina. Artina.
That's short for
A-R-T-I-N-E-H. Okay, good. I want to just try to get it right.
Oh, yeah. Let's try to guess.
Artine. Artine.
Artine.
Artin. Artin. I think it's Artin. I think we don't pronounce A. That's I'm going with Artin.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Andrew. My name is Artine. I live in Los Angeles. I'm a huge fan.
Thanks, Artine.
Nikki, you were always my favorite roaster on the Comedy Central roasts.
Thank you. Your voice is so good.
And I just wanted to thank you guys for the podcast and for always being so open and honest about your lives and your experiences. It really helps us be able to relate to you guys and makes it really fun to listen to.
Thank you.
So thank you. And this is the only podcast I've ever listened to more than one episode of. So thank you. Thank you. And Andrew, I think it's so adorable that you were crying listening to the voice messages. I think it really shows that you care about the impact that you have on your listeners, which is so cool. So thank you for sharing that too. And I just wanted to share real quick that my sister and her husband were at my house yesterday, and my brother-in-law was reading a headline to us out loud from ESPN. and he was reading that Kobe Bryant was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame posthumously. Mm. And my sister and I had to break it to him that he was actually inducted posthumously. And he felt really dumb.
I would have said that.
Thank you for letting me share, and I love you guys.
I literally thought she was going to tell us that was what he read, like that was the correct thing, but what he did say, but because I thought it's posthumously. Like, I thought it could be both, honestly.
I but think I that never, was a word that you might have said before, and someone said that you didn't say it right, and I would have never
posthumously.
Known.
It's posthumously, and that is stupid, and I agree with you on, like, it should be the way, and... it's so funny that she just gave one that we would have done. Yeah. And she just saved us, Ardenae. You really did. And your voice, I literally want you to make ASMR videos because it's just like so gentle.
That's
and
the thing,
was
though.
Filled with such like kindness. And there was a crispness to it that was like so comforting to me. And I closed my eyes while she was talking. And I kind of got lost in it.
And if you name your daughter like Ardenae, like... She's it might not going to be a bitch. She's going to be a nice... I feel like your name is so Ardenae. Freaking important.
It is important. I'm going to be Ardenae for the rest of the episode and just like speak with this like... God, Ardenae, if you have children, they're so lucky. And if you have... Like anyone who is a loved one in your life is so lucky because you are so... You just sound so loving.
Until she yells and then it's like, man, Ardenae.
Ardenae does not yell in my world.
Ardenae.
Oh my God. She'll yell... Yeah. I mean, Ardenae, you are a... A grammar Nazi? No. Yeah, you. I'm glad you made him feel stupid, but you would have made me feel stupid too. But I should. Ardenae is smart, and she tells it like it is.
That's what Ardenae does.
Well, please let's be friends. I heard you live in LA, and I'm open to that. Final thought. We got to wrap this up.
I love this.
This was
episode.
Really fun.
Like I could do this all day long.
It's you didn't even finish. There's so many more, so we'll have to do this again.
Great. We will definitely do this again. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for sending in those voice memos and thinking of us in these funny moments of your life and reminding me of so many great moments on the show. And I love you. I really do. Thanks for listening. We're going to do this forever. I'm going to do this for, this is what I want to do forever. So I hope you're in it for the long run too.
Yeah, Fanthrax. I mean, until we go to each other's funerals.
Yeah, I mean, it could all end tomorrow. We don't know. Building, you know, apartment buildings collapse. That's my new fear.
Oh, I was with this couple last night, speaking of that, and the one wanted a shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, well, you know, 10 to 15 years, it might be better. The surgery might be better. So maybe you want to wait. Because you're still, you know, only 40. And the wife goes, yeah, but you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. And it was such a dark thing for a wife to say to a husband.
Yes. He doesn't know if he'll have tomorrow. And by the way, we need to up your insurance policy.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about my shoulder surgery, speaking of insurance, how much am I getting when I murder you? We don't have tomorrow, but I hope you do. Thank you for listening, besties. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you to all the people we heard from today, especially. We'll see you tomorrow or Monday or we'll see you the next time on the show. You know when it is. Don't be cur.
Okay.
And
jackfruit.